Dukes and Bell.
I find it interesting.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Big shout out to Brad Guzan for jumping on the show. Arthur Blank will join us here in about 10 minutes, guys, owner of Atlanta United. Also, Alexi Lawless, Mike, in the 5 o'clock hour. We're looking forward to that as we gear up for the big MLS Cup on Saturday.
Yeah, man, they finally got a coach for the U.S. men's national team. Alexi was saying about 2 weeks ago on a funny blog, man, Blanker get off the pot, U.S. men's team. So, also, how we are so just woefully inadequate when it comes to international competition and getting the youth. Hopefully, a team like Atlanta doing our thing gets kids in the inner city, gets kids that aren't just simply lily white suburban kids playing the sport, which I think has been the problem for many of the years with the U.S. men's national team.
We know that the major changes need to happen. Hopefully, they're moving in the right direction.
And it's just such a bureaucracy, but we'll get Alexi to talk about it.
It is, and hopefully we're moving in the right direction. We'll get into that coming up a little bit later on in the show. Real quick, though, I do want to mention this, as we've been talking a lot about college football, and apparently Todd Stansberry, who is does not have a search committee, and this is according to Wes Durham, the voice of the Falcons, who's been a part of Tech's broadcast team, and now – you know, this is also being reported by Ken Segura, but he's saying Todd Stansberry is not just stopping at Ken Whisenhunt, that they will continue to the search and continue to interview folks. So,
I mean, wouldn't you think they do more than one or two interviews on this? I mean,
you have to.
You
got to
kick the tires. I think the only question I would have with Whisenhunt is how quickly can he get the recruiting thing going? And I mean, two ways of looking at it. If you're going to talk to offensive skill position players, right, and say, hey, man, here's my resume. I work with Kurt Warner and Phillip Rivers and Ben Roethlisberger. And, you know, is that something you'd like to be a part of? And getting to the NFL, I think that definitely helps. But I think that's one of the things that has come up is can he get the recruiting thing fired up?
Again, you know, everybody wants to say that Whisenhunt's a perfect fit. You said it to me 2 weeks ago. You know, it's an easy hire.
It's an easy hire. He's got the connection. Todd was a teammate with him at Tech. It's conservative, but that's kind of what Tech is. I mean, I do think that people want to move on to a pro-style offense. It's not knocking what you saw with Paul. It's people are ready for a change with that team. You got to put fannies in the seats. Empty seats for homecoming, people kind of getting disinterested at times. That's happened more than one or two times in the last few years. You've got to get people fired up to get down to Bobby Dodd, which is something which has been, it's really been a battle for any athletic director there.
According to Ken Segura, before we get to our NFL Blitz, Todd Stansberry will interview 5 or 6 candidates. And we don't know exactly who those are, but again, I think this is the right thing to do. You don't just stop with one, and I get it. Ken Whisenhunt, great qualifications. Mm-hmm. But, Mike, I got to hear maybe someone blows your socks off, right? You get in an interview process, one of these guys that you don't think, I'm not sure about. Guys, that's how Mike Tomlin got the job in Pittsburgh. Right. People said he wasn't ready, he shouldn't be a head coach. He goes in and wins the job. And not only has he won it, he's been there now a long time. It was the right hire. I just think you can't get caught up in one or two guys and then your tunnel vision.
It is kind of funny because no matter where you go with this, the fan base is going to go one way. Like, I was reading some blogs about Louisville, and they don't like Satterfield, the guy from App State. They're like, well, what does he know about getting, you know, 5-star recruits? Well, he's gotten all the guys that have gone, would normally go to an ACC school, but they were either too small or considered too slow. And but he's able to win and very quickly make that transition to big boy football and do a great job at it. So, you know, and by the way, not everybody was knocking your door down at Louisville. It wasn't as prestigious a job as people always think their job is better than what it is, I guess.
Yeah, 2 App State assistants are expected to join Scott Satterfield at Louisville. Listen, I think it's the old adage, Mike, you know, you win at a small school, then you move up, right? You win and prove yourself, and then you move up, and you're ready for that next challenge. I just think, you know, these big Division I programs, they're a hard, huge task. They're not easy to walk into, and if you don't understand that, that's why I said you got to get somebody with experience.
But I mean, like an Urban Meyer, you know, so many guys, dozens of guys. That's why it's called the cradle of coaches, the MAC conference. You know, you make your way up from there, or you're an assistant and you've been an assistant at a big time program like a Kirby, like what Dan Mullen is going to be doing now at Florida. But yeah, man, as far as Tech, let's get it fun. Let's get the ball in the air, okay? let's you know, because a couple of years ago, and I don't know if it was Radicovich, which was the AD, but they tried to do a marketing campaign where let's make Atlanta the hometown college team. If you're a transplant, in other words, just walk the 6 blocks into Bobby Dodd and catch some football. And they're just trying to find that, you know, the ability to connect with people that aren't, because again, it's a far flung alumni base. We hear all the excuses from some Tech fans about why they don't sell out Bobby Dodd. But first thing has got to be an exciting style of play.
All right, it is Dukes and Bell, guys. Get at us on Twitter or various other social media outlets. Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes Radio Show. Dukes and Bell 929. Arthur Blank on the way. Let's get to an NFL Blitz.
Hey. Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
I have to start first with this gruesome picture. I don't know why ESPN put it out there. talking about Redskins quarterback Alex Smith. If you've not heard this news, he's dealing with an infection. And this is complications from multiple surgeries, okay?
Right.
The family's asking for privacy. The Redskins put a statement out. And this is like worst case scenario because, you know, you get through the surgeries and then this is what you don't want to happen. But there's a picture on ESPN of him and this leg, a steel picture, Mike. You can look it up. And okay. I'm like, why are they showing this again? You know? Either way, guys, we wish him the best. Alex Smith dealing with an infection caused by complications from multiple surgeries on his broken leg.
Yeah, and remember this, going back to the Vikings, what happened with Teddy Bridgewater, the first thing was like they were talking about, hey, let's make sure this guy can walk, let alone play football, because the knee injury was so diabolical. You had everything from, you know, blood vessels were torn and he had like nerve damage and all that. Same thing they were worried about with Mackenzie Milton, the UCF quarterback, who also broke his leg and just a miserably yucky-looking tackle. So, yeah, it's just Alex Smith and Colt McCoy. Alex, I don't know how many years he's got left, and then Colt McCoy can't catch a break either.
Not at all. NFL
Blitz. I don't mean that, you know, yeah, I know he caught a break for all you wise asses. Ha, ha, ha. But the dude just can't.
I wasn't even thinking about that.
I mean, I know, as soon as I said it, I'm like, oh, hold on.
NFL Blitz brought to you by Jim Ellis Kia of Kennesaw. The Packers fired one of their assistants. And Winston Moss, after he tweeted, this is Joe Philbin. This is the coach, by the way, we'll see this weekend. He is now the interim coach of the Packers, talking about Winston being fired.
It's important, obviously, that everybody's on the same page, that we're all moving forward in the same direction. As you know, Winston's an excellent football coach. I've known him a long time. Respect him. An outstanding family man. So it wasn't an easy decision, but I just didn't feel like the fit right now was where it needs to be. And so came to that decision.
Need your key card. He tweeted out, ponder this, what championship teams are have a R. Check that. Championship teams.
Yeah, he typoed when he wrote this thing.
have great leadership, period. It's not the offensive guru trend. It's not the safe trend. Find somebody that's going to hold number 12, that's Aaron Rodgers, and everyone in this building to a, quote, hashtag, a Lombardi standard, period. Losing sucks. So that was the tweet, apparently, that everyone's talking about. They got him fired. Philbin saying it wasn't the right fit.
Well, I mean, look, you can't do that. You just can't. I mean, I saw guys on social media like, why are they firing him? You go pop off about your boss at work on Twitter. Good luck with that, you know, or Facebook. It's not how you do it. And if you want to do it in grand style, go call it. You know what? Go get some FaceTime with Aaron in the locker room in front of everybody if you're going to make this your farewell speech. But you can't expect to keep a guy like that on staff if that's the way he feels. You know, go. I mean, I get it. Maybe it's true, but, you know, you can't expect to hold on to your position.
Philbin, by the way, said, you guys are wrong. It wasn't just about that.
No, I mean, it's never about one thing, you know. I mean, it's we got to be professional, accountable, respectful, and punctual. Those are the four things we got to do these next 4 weeks. And if we do all those things, we'll be in good shape. You're talking to a guy who's never tweeted in his life, doesn't even know what Twitter is. So, you know, again, it's not about a tweet or anything like that. I just think the fit right now isn't what it needs to be.
Man, stop.
Oh, it's kind of about a tweet.
You come on, bro. I mean, really? Out of the blue, you just walked into the office that day? I think I'm going to let Winston go.
Yeah, you know, Winston's been on my nerves for a minute, parked in my parking space. And by the way, for those who don't remember the Miami Dolphins season on Hard Knocks, Philbin is a bit anal retentive, so these things may actually add up for him.
Meanwhile, guys, Cam Newton is dealing with the shoulder. He's not played well, by the way. I mean, you talk about our losing streak. Their losing streak really has been about his inability to get the job done.
Well, Tony Dungy tweeted the other day. He says, wow. He goes, Cam throws four picks and they fire two defensive assistants. Football must be more complicated than when I was a head coach.
Yeah, Cam saying he's not going to let this shoulder thing hold him back. By the way, we see them, all right, second to the last game, December 23rd.
I'm healthy enough to play. You know, I'm not going to let nothing hold me back from being able to, you know, help my team. And I don't definitely want to be a liability. I just want to make sure that, you know, I'm putting myself and this team in the best situation to win football games.
Mike, this is his repaired shoulder, okay? He's experiencing pain in his right shoulder to the point that it's being a factor in games. And that's what he's talking about. I don't want to be a liability. I don't want to hurt my team, but I also want to go out and help my team. You can't help your team if you're not 100%.
No, man. This is a situation where, you know, Ron Rivera, there's talk now that they're circling the wagons around Ron, that he might be on his way out. And it's a shame because, you know, that team started off like a house of fire. We actually beat them running the ball really well. Or was it week two? And then they've had this losing streak. They just can't get out of their own way. It is our NFL Blitz brought to you by Jim Ellis Kia of Kennesaw. Carl, do you see about Emmanuel Sanders with the torn Achilles?
Terrible.
For the Broncos. And this is tough, and for purely selfish reasons for fantasy owners, because you might have this guy on your squad, whether it's the playoffs in your league. But more importantly for the man, just a drag. It happens in practice and now done for the season. The MRI confirms that the season is over. And the recovery time with the torn Achilles, that gets you into October of next year in worst-case scenario. Yeah. So you're going to miss time next season.
He had 71 catches, over 868 yards, four touchdowns. He's having a really good season for the Broncos. But, yeah, that's unfortunate timing. I want you to hear Chris Carter on FS1. This is his show, First Things First. There are a lot of rumors about where the Packers may go with their head coach. We'll see him this weekend again. And the Browns, because remember, they are going to be in the market for a head coach. A lot of people, Mike, saying Jim Harbaugh is the guy there's interest in. Here's what Chris Carter said.
I'm just going to tell you guys a name. Watch out for Jim Harbaugh, because Jim Harbaugh potentially is trying to get his way out of Michigan. All right. I got good sources that are telling me not only Green Bay, but also watch out for the Cleveland Browns. He likes the quarterback situations there. And I believe that there is front office people in Green Bay who are enamored with Jim Harbaugh and potentially trying to get him to come to Green Bay. So I don't even think Josh is going to be made available for the Packers. And I think other people have their eyes on the Packers job.
Think about, go back. Think about what Harbaugh, Falcon fans, you remember 2012, what he did with Alex Smith, then Kaepernick, okay, and how he developed them and how those offenses were clicking. If you are the Packers, Mike, or for that matter, if you're the Browns and you have a young quarterback in Baker Mayfield, yeah, I'm probably interested.
Now, of course, he'll be great with the quarterback. And as you said, having the nuggets to go on from Alex Smith and say, no, you're not getting your job back because this guy brings something else to the table. What was it, three NFC championships they went to? Come up short in the Super Bowl against his bro? And the Ravens. I don't know what's going on in Michigan. I just remember you and I were talking about this about 2 weeks ago after we were talking about it, it was the Ohio State game. I'm telling you, man, I could just totally see Harbaugh pulling the trigger. Yes, he's got a Buckeye problem. Although, do you stick around a few more years?
Now
that the Trestle man, I mean, I said not Trestle man. I'll go back to the other guy. Now that you're going to move on from Urban Meyer, I don't know. And then how many times you get a quality franchise? Not that you consider Cleveland quality, but they've got some amazing talent there. Right guy can manage that talent. Think about it, Carl. They got all those young studs they drafted on defense. You got a quarterback who's really good. A lot of weapons. You got Nick Chubb. You got a lot of pieces in place there for the right guy.
Yeah. Do you go back? And again, it's not about money. He's making, what, almost $8 million, $7 million bucks at Michigan? He's going to make a lot of money if he goes back to the NFL, but he would be dissing the alma mater everybody was clamoring for.
Yes, and a man with an ego as big as the big house will be known as a failure. Big Blue. So that is interesting to see how he plays. If, in fact, there's a lot of more than just hearsay, I mean, I'll take Chris Carter at his word that he's hearing. That's a thing.
All right, speaking of Colin Kaepernick, Richard Sherman, his former actually, he's not a former teammate, but he played against Colin Kaepernick when he was with the Seahawks. Sherman's now a 49er. With this whole thing that's going on with quarterbacks, especially in Washington, he was asked about Colin Kaepernick not being given a tryout.
I think that the decision not to sign Colin Kaepernick isn't entirely football related. At his peak, he's played better than every quarterback that's probably been signed in the last 2-3 months. However, he hasn't gotten an opportunity to show what he can do. These quarterbacks have won and lost games and played up and down their entire careers. And I definitely think that he's being frozen out of the league. And at this point, it's become pretty obvious to everyone what's going on.
Hey,
don't disagree.
Can't disagree. Like, has nothing to do with the man's political stance or whatever you feel about his right. Again, his right as an American to express himself, whether you feel that's apropos of the workplace or not. You go, and all I have to do, Carl, if I was his attorney, I want to show some photos. Here's guys that have been under center this year in the NFL. I give you Mark Sanchez.
Exhibit A.
I give you Mark Sanchez. That's all I need to show.
Hey, man, it is our NFL Blitz. As I mentioned, Arthur Blank's going to join us coming up in just a little bit.
All right, man, we've already got the Alliance of American Football that's going to play right here in Atlanta. We got the XF.
What is it?
Alliance of American Football.
Yeah, that's
we
right.
got the XFL coming, part two coming. With McMahon.
2020, right?
And now we got guys, 50 former players, including Ricky Williams, who did an interview today on SportsCenter.
Was he
high? Owens. No, I don't think he was high.
I'm just asking.
Jeff Garcia.
He likes the weed. It's cool.
But I saw on the list of guys that are going to start the Freedom Football League, one of our good friends, Big Bob Whitfield, apparently is involved. Bob, if you're listening, if you would like to burn money, Carl and I would be happy to take it off your hands. Somebody reach out to Bob and straighten him out. Bob Whitfield is listed as one of the owners in this new Freedom Football League. Love, Bob.
What's the buy-in?
Whatever it is, Bob, don't do it. Get out of there. Get your money back.
Yeah.
We already got two leagues. Only one's got a TV contract in place right now, and you're going to have the Freedom League. They plan to go into cities that don't have NFL. Well, good luck with that.
Okay.
I mean, it's just, guys, if we can barely survive, one of these will survive, like these spring football leagues or summer leagues. Everybody wants to be the new D-League.
Yeah, but Mike, I actually think the XFL, because they've got already a TV deal in place.
AAF has got the CBS deal. Who's the XFL's TV deal?
I don't know if they have one yet.
It's NBC, isn't it?
No, because NBC did the old one with Ebersole. I don't know if they're going back with NBC this time around.
I'll have to take a look. I think they have a deal in place, which is one of the reasons why this became attractive to a lot of people. Obviously, guys, we're talking a couple of years from now. I think they don't kick off or start that season until 2020. And there's a limited amount of cities. Today they announced where they will be playing at what stadiums around the country.
Right.
It's not all NFL stadiums, obviously. But they've got locations where they're going to be playing these games. But I think that's another attractive reason why so many people are talking about the XFL coming back.
The Arena League has got TV. The Arena League, the American
Alliance.
Whatever we've got here in Atlanta, they're on with CBS.
You're getting all these confused.
And CBS Sports. I don't see a TV deal in place for XFL right now.
Okay.
I'm looking right now. I'm reading
their website.
And
isn't it Ebersole's son who's involved
with
this?
Right.
Okay.
Now, again, the American League, who do we have on? Who's the coach? Brad Childress. He used to be in Minnesota.
Yeah. Yeah.
We had him on about a week back. And Mike Vick's going to be the OC, and I know Aaron Murray's going to play quarterback for these guys. But they've got a deal with the CBS Sports Network, and I don't know if CBS is going to air the games, but they got it on their sports side.
So it'll be on the web.
Right.
Pretty much. I mean, an internet-based television, right. I guess.
But Squid, look it up, because I can't find the XFL TV deal right now.
Yeah, I'm not seeing one. In fact, I saw an article that said where could it land, but right now there is
no TV deal in place
from what I can see.
They announced today again, and I'll have to look it and find it for you, but I think it was 8 or 9 cities they announced where they're going to be playing these games for the XFL. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. Arthur Blank's going to join us. Hey, one other thing I do want to get to, NFL-related. We talked about it when we started the show today. And that is Reuben Foster's ex-girlfriend. Her name is Alyssa Ennis. She went on Good Morning America today to tell her side of the story about what happened. Mike and I have had extensive conversations about Reuben Foster. But, again, domestic violence, these situations. Here is Reuben Foster's ex-girlfriend, again, Alyssa Ennis, talking about the fact that Foster being signed again.
When he got signed, I was like, I can't believe somebody picked him up. And I just couldn't believe somebody picked him up in less than how many hours? Like, I was shocked.
Did it feel like they did not believe you?
Oh, yes, ma'am. I felt like they didn't believe me. Even when I called the police, the 49ers came up there. I had pictures of the 49ers coming up there trying to talk to the police and say, I'm the same ex-girlfriend that sit up there and lied.
Oh, boy. Now, remember, she changed her story, recanted it, and then went back. He decided to get back involved with her, and now his career is on hiatus again. So Ruben's got to make some better decisions.
No doubt about it. Right now, though, let's say hello and good afternoon to the owner of our Atlanta United, Arthur Blank, joining us. And, Arthur, it's good to have you back on the program. Last time we saw you, it was a sit-down down at Mercedes-Benz Stadium before the NFL season, and we asked you about Atlanta United, and you were so excited. Where's your excitement level now that we're playing for the MLS Cup?
Well, it's probably fivefold what it was then. I mean, we've had an incredible year, both on the pitch and in fan support, fan attendance. We hold records for the 7 most attended games in the history of Major League Soccer. And to think in our second year that we're not only in the playoffs but now playing for the Cup, I think is pretty incredible. It's a great tribute to our franchise, to the leaders in our franchise, the coach and coaching staff, and our players and. And really, to the level of fan support has been unbelievable. And that makes a huge difference. Our home record is as good as it is for a lot of reasons. One of the major reasons is because the level of enthusiasm and energy and passion that our fans show whenever we're playing at home.
It is, Arthur Blank, guys.
As well as traveling.
Right.
They travel, too. So it's great.
The boss is with us here, guys, talking about United playing in the MLS Cup. To have the MVP, the runner-up for the MVP, and then to play in the championship in just the second year, it's amazing, Arthur. How did you find Darren Eales? Because you're always finding good people for all your businesses. How did you find him?
Yeah, well, that's a really good question. We used a search firm, and it was interesting. When we used the search firm, we made it clear to them, because soccer, unlike the NFL, which is primarily focused in the United States in terms of the teams, et cetera, we play in England and play in Mexico when the field is okay and elsewhere. But But we wanted to make sure that we had a global span. So the firm we were working with had that ability to look at soccer executives throughout the world and not just here in Major League, you know, United States or North America, if you will. And so Darren had background in the United States, although he's from England. He had gone to school here. He played also in Europe as well. And his wife was from the United States. So that all worked in our favor. And I spent 3 hours with him during the first interview. And, you know, as I, you know, jokingly have said more than once, I said I had him back for a second interview because I couldn't understand half what he said the first time. But he was clearly our choice because he understood as the world is flat, not just because Thomas Friedman said that some years ago in his book, but also because the world is flatter today. Certainly the world of soccer is truly flat and truly global. That we wanted to have somebody who would look at resources on a worldwide basis and not be limited to the United States or Canada, for that matter. And Darren and Carlos Bocanegra and other folks on the soccer side have done an incredible job. And the people who've developed these fan relationships, so we brought them in early. They studied the market like Darren, understood why soccer was successful in Atlanta and the state of Georgia, and have been able to, you know, to tap into that energy and passion.
Arthur Blank, our guest here on Dukes and Bell, owner of R, Atlanta United, playing for MLS Cup against Portland on Saturday night at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Arthur, were you ever hesitant thinking about Mercedes-Benz being a soccer venue? You know, you look around the country and you have all these soccer-specific stadiums. And then when we told people, well, our soccer team is going to play in our, you know, football stadium, which is our multi-purpose, you know, stadium, a lot of people looked at us. But yet here we are leading the league in attendance.
Well, I think that the reason for that, Carl, is that we never built our stadium to be designed just for the NFL. We designed it to have FIFA standard soccer regulations in terms of the pitch size, in terms of the sight lines from the seats down to the pitch, in terms of all the things that would be important for the soccer fans. So when they came into the building, whether it be on a Saturday or Wednesday or Thursday night, whatever the case may be, is that they saw a soccer-specific stadium and not an NFL stadium that had been converted. So when you're in the stadium Saturday night, you would never know the Falcons ever play there, and vice versa. When we play there on Sundays, it feels like an NFL stadium, like a Falcons stadium. So we made a lot of investments, tens of millions of dollars in design a stadium to make sure that we could accommodate FIFA qualified events like World Cup, which we will host in Atlanta, or some of the games will host in Atlanta. And we wanted to make sure we did it from the outset. And I think the fans understood that, and they saw that, and they appreciated that.
It is Arthur Blank, the boss, talking about United. We'll be talking football at the end of the season with Arthur, guys, about the Falcons. Today we're talking about soccer because the championship is here. And Arthur, I mean, this is part of your legacy. We talked about this back earlier in the fall, you know, between Mercedes-Benz and now bringing soccer and also the international side to it. Because when the World Cup comes to North America, I mean, we're going to have a game, and it's all because of your vision.
Well, I would say it's because of the collective vision. I wouldn't say it's just because of my vision, Mike, but I appreciate that. And I think, you know, we've recruited some incredible, talented people on the soccer side, as we have, as you said earlier, in all of our businesses. And they've done a great job. They've brought in people that were equal to them. We gave them enough time so they could be thoughtful about their decision-making, do the research, be in touch with our fans who really are the owners of this franchise. I mean, I'm the steward for them. That's true with the Falcons. It's certainly true with Atlanta United. And they know we're making investments in everything that can make a difference, both in terms of their experience, whether it be food and beverage or how the stadium feels to them when they're in it, or the quality of the coaching staff, the quality of the players, the investments that we make in those players, et cetera. And so, you know, fans, they are brilliant. They understand that we have set no limits in terms of the successes, and we've set no limits in terms of the investments we've made to be able to achieve the successes that we have. The key now is to build it so it's a sustainable winning organization over a long period of time. Off to a great start.
No doubt. Year two, we're playing in the MLS Cup, and, you know, we're going to have Alexi Lawless on the show a little bit later, Arthur, and, You know, he's called us now the destination, and we are the, you know, the place where everybody wants to be and come as far as soccer in the United States. I do want to ask you, because I know you're involved in so many different things, but these rumors that came out earlier in the week about the Premier League, are you at all interested in ownership elsewhere?
No, we're not. I mean, we think there's a lot of opportunities to expand the Atlanta United brand, both in Atlanta and for the league and for soccer throughout North America. We're exploring a number of those things, and that makes a lot more sense to us.
What about buying a franchise in the south of France? Then we can all win.
Mike, you're assuming that you would be over there. That's a really big jump of faith. I don't know. Yeah,
just throw it out.
How proud are you of Joseph Martinez, who wins the MVP for MLS?
Well, I'm very proud of Joseph. He's a he's a great young player. He's a fine young man. He comes from a great family. As you saw, he was here the other day. When he was speaking in Spanish, he got very emotional talking about his family, talking about seeing his grandfather there and his grandmother there and his aunt and baby and what have you. But I think and I said it to Joseph earlier, and Joseph would be the first to say it, is that his getting that recognition is a great recognition for the entire team, because the reason he's MVP is because he's surrounded by a great group of players that all play their role. And he has a role, obviously, as well as a striker, and has performed at a very high level. But without their surrounding him, he would not have the success that he's had. And that's a tribute to our coaching staff as well. The best thing that a coaching staff can do is to put round blocks and round holes and square pegs and square holes. And I think that they've identified the talents of all of the players on our soccer team and have put them in the best positions to win. Both individually, in the case of Joseph, mm-hmm. and in terms of the team, in terms of Joseph and Miggy and others. So I'm very proud of him personally, but I'm really proud of us as an organization having the number one and number two, folks that really competed for that award this year.
So who's going to swing the hammer for the Golden Spike, Arthur? Are you going to take care of that business on Saturday?
I don't know. That's not my decision. I'm only the owner. I don't make those decisions. people that are smarter than me make those decisions.
Right.
I'm happy to support them in whatever they want to do.
Mr. Blank, we appreciate your time as always.
Thank you, fans,
and we support you. We're excited, man. We're going to be there. We're season ticket holders.
Okay.
We're going to be there cheering our guys on. So hopefully we get it done.
Thank you. Thank you both, Carl and Mike. And I also want to thank, all of the fans that listen to you, and you guys have done an incredible job and not only supporting Atlanta United, but supporting our football team as well. And really, really supporting our baseball team and the Hawks. And so I enjoy listening to you. Your show, I do whenever I can. Whenever I'm driving, I always do, and I appreciate that. And I know our fans do as well.
You're never mad at us, are you?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not. I'm never mad, and I appreciate the all the tough discussions and tough debate. And I think it's important to listen to those things because you guys know what you're talking about. At least Carl does.
I was going to say, wait a minute.
Mike, I'm sorry.
I've known Mr. Blank for nearly 20 years.
I love you, boss.
Happy holidays. We'll see you Saturday.
Okay. Yeah, guys, look forward to it. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. That's Arthur Blank, guys. We got one of the best owners in the country. You guys know that. And seriously, he's done everything he can to make this organization what it is. He's right, though, Mike, about sustaining the success. Hopefully, we're talking about a win next week, and that's all fine and dandy. But this can't be over after that,
Right.
And if we don't, for whatever reason, this is just the start. I think that sustainability is a big part of this.
And we'll be talking plenty more about the Falcons with Arthur again. We'll do the debrief as we try to get, Dan Quinn to answer some of those questions about the big picture. But first things first, they got four games to play. So I know it is frustrating for Falcon fans. You want to be able to address where this thing is going. But we'll have to wait for once the season is finally over for all those press conferences and those interviews.
All right, guys, coming up, in case you missed it, with my man Mike Conti. Also, we're going to break down the numbers for the Heisman Trophy. This thing's a lot closer than I think people believe it is. And listen, at the early part of the season, I'm all over Tua Tagovailoa, as most people were. I think at one point he had thrown 26 or 27, touchdowns and no interceptions. He ends the year with four.
Right.
But, Mike, I think at his biggest moment, which might have been the SEC championship game, you know, he showed how vulnerable he was. And meanwhile, Kyler Murray, who a lot of people say, wow, nobody plays defense in the Big 12. You still have to do it. Last year, Baker Mayfield won the Heisman at that same school, and Murray has put up amazing numbers this season.
And he's got a – I mean, don't you want to talk about life by the short hairs? Carl and I were talking about this before the show. I mean, you got a baseball team already giving you a big-time contract in the Oakland A's to play shortstop. You got NFL teams which might say, you know what, we'll waive that 6 feet tall or more rule for quarterbacks because this guy is just that dynamic, as you laid out, better numbers than Baker Mayfield. And aside from, you know, what maybe the Purdue game cost him, Dwayne Haskins put up insane numbers at Ohio State. He's a true drop-back passer, and I don't know if some of the stain of Urban Meyer and some of the voters, if that unfortunately cost him, but you could make the argument for all three of these guys. I hate these awards because they are so subjective, and it's all generally so regional. You know, the West goes one way, Midwest, the South, et cetera, but you could argue all three guys could get a Heisman.
Yeah, they all deserve it. One guy will win it Saturday night. Brian Billick on the way as well. We'll talk to Coach Billick about the latest stuff in the NFL. Including, what were the Packers thinking? To fire Mike McCarthy at this point in the season. Don't you let him finish the year, or were they that frustrated? Brian Billick will fill us in coming up at 4:20. So stay right there. A lot in store, guys, here on Dukes and Bell this afternoon. 404-741-0929 is the number. That is also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. A lot of folks chiming in about Arthur Blank and his comments about Atlanta United. Guys, listen, this is going to be, and Mike Conte said this, this is going to be, as far as records, all right, a record-setting night when you talk about MLS and club soccer, Mike, in America.
You know, we talked so much about how it all started. Last time we had Arthur on, we were out there at Mercedes-Benz. And for guys who don't remember, because a lot of United fans who jumped on, but for the hardcore fans, the first night, it was over at Compound, over Midtown West, over there by Howell Mill. And you had people lined up down the street. And I remember driving up with my wife again. Soccer is for real. I mean, when you've got 5,000 people trying to cram in there just to see what the logo and the colors are going to look like, and then to see how it is just blown people's minds all around the country and the world, for that matter.
You need a place to watch the game on Sunday. Go to the official Atlanta Falcons versus Green Bay game day party. It's at Taco Mac Metro in Midtown starting at noon. There'll be tons of Falcon prizes given away during the game. Also, Freddie the Falcon, Falcon cheerleaders, and a Falcon alum, Fred McCray, will be on site, guys. We'll come back in case you missed it next.
Busy. Pretty busy.
Too busy.
Busy.
What? I'm very busy right now.
Hey, man.
It's time now for In Case You Missed It with Mike Conte.
Have I got good news for you?
Right here on Dukes and Bell.
Coming up, we'll go on the sidelines with the Dogs. Who deserves the Heisman Trophy in 2018? We'll break that down and more. But right now, it's our man Mike Conte, In Case You Missed It.
Mike Wallace and Morley Safer over here trying to get the inside info from Arthur Blank.
We tried.
They won't. Look, I try to get information at times. They're very guarded with what they tell me. I think it's a real mystery as to who's going to do the spike on Saturday night. I've heard rumors.
I mean, I will throw our hats in the ring, by the way. No, two hammers?
Yeah.
No, I know, Mike. Yeah. I'm just saying. We might be
looking for something a little more high profile.
I'm just saying, if they ever needed some guys, maybe next season,
Mike.
Carl.
Thanks, Mike Conte.
Yeah, well, there you go.
I mean, no disrespect to
just
you
promoting
guys.
Promoting this team since 2014.
They've actually asked us about this, but apparently you have to – it's pre-planned and all this stuff. Yeah. And maybe next year we'll get an opportunity to do it.
All I want to do is swing the hammer.
But to your point – this is the championship match. You could obviously have a number of Atlanta celebs or individuals, whomever, groups. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Swinging the hammer. It could be just about anybody. All I know is it's going to be electric. That's what I know.
No doubt. No doubt. It's going to be an awesome atmosphere, and we're going to have it on 92.9 The Game. And went and got my credential yesterday. It's really starting to feel real now, guys.
Right.
It's amazing.
Because MLS runs this show, right?
This is like the Super Bowl, except it's on someone's home field, basically. So MLS runs everything. But it's my understanding, yes, there will be a golden spike. Yes, they're going to play We Ready. Yes, it's going to be most of the usual home match accoutrements.
Okay.
Just the ticket distribution's a little bit different, and I know – you have to get your seats if you're a season ticket holder and stuff like that. I mean, I'm not telling anyone anything new. But
by the way, tickets are going for as high as, you know, there's $1,000 tickets for sale. There's $600, there's $300
it's
tickets
great.
Out there.
We've never seen anything like this for an MLS Cup final as far as secondary market ticket prices and demand and all that. All right, Falcons, meanwhile, play the Packers on Sunday. And, that means a matchup with Aaron Rodgers again, fourth time in 3 years. You know, Aaron Rodgers and his family have had an ongoing estrangement We'll just put it that way.
Right, okay,
where,
right.
You know, Aaron Rodgers doesn't get along very well with his brother and his parents, allegedly. And then remember a couple weeks ago, Aaron Rodgers was tweeting about raising money for that forest fire out in California. And Jordan Rodgers on Twitter clapped back at him and said, you know, maybe instead of trying to raise money, you should check on our parents who, you know, are living in the midst of the fire. So anyhow, Aaron Rodgers this week in an open locker room period, he's doing an availability with the media. Someone is asking him how he found out about Mike McCarthy being fired. And he said, I found out the same way most of you found out. I was at home with my folks who are in town for my birthday.
Right.
And now the celebrity watchers out there, whoever they are, yeah, are making a big deal of this, saying, wait a minute, this surely means that Aaron Rodgers has had a reconciliation with his parents.
Right.
You believe it?
Sure.
So did somebody go back and trace what private plane they flew in on, or did they fly commercial, or they rent a car to get out to his house? Or maybe, I mean, I'm sure somebody in the Green Bay area is looking into this.
Maybe they went Greyhound. I don't know. Now, I mean, we've had all kinds of stories over the years about how the women in Aaron Rodgers' life have tried to get him to make amends with his parents. Olivia Munn, his ex-girlfriend, very famously tried to get them to reconcile, but apparently now it has happened. So Aaron Rodgers, maybe in the spirit of the holiday season, maybe in the spirit of having a new head coach, whatever, he will go into this Falcons game on good terms with his parents. And now we can all breathe.
Well, you know what? I hope he's on good terms with his new head coach, Mike Bell. That's what I hope. I hope he's on terms, good terms with whoever that's going to be.
It wouldn't be with Winston Moss.
No.
I saw that story, right?
Yeah,
Winston
Moss.
Well,
we talked a lot about
assistant.
That. Yeah.
Crazy, saying someone's got to hold him accountable and he got fired.
Tweets will happen like that, Mike Bell, Mike Conti.
No doubt. Okay, Crystal Palace, Premier League side.
They were playing, by the way, Mike, when we were getting ready for your stoppage time broadcast. Crystal Palace was playing Brighton Hove Albion, and people were getting mad. So I'm like, I can't believe people are watching Crystal Palace in Brighton.
There could not have been any Palace supporters at
there were. We saw there were three
Palace. There are Palace supporters that exist in Atlanta.
Mike made a comment. I swear, these folks turned around. I thought they might storm us.
Man City guy was watching Watford on the other TV.
Okay.
But, yeah, you had Crystal Palace, and you actually had people in the Albion uniform.
Well, that's awesome. I am surprised.
This is Fido on Tuesday.
Yeah, because Palace is not one of the more widely supported clubs
they
in the
and
Premier
Fulham
League,
are the weak sisters of London soccer.
Yeah, but even Fulham has had, like, flourishes of greatness. Palace has just kind of been an afterthought. Well, anyhow, the United Kingdom's Food Standard Agency has come out and revealed that the cafeteria at Crystal Palace's training ground received a food hygiene rating of 0 out of a possible 5. And the agency's website, because it's all public record, notes that urgent improvement is required in areas like food handling, cleanliness of facilities, and management of food safety. Now, I want to quote for you directly the food hygiene report from the British version of the USDA. Quote, you've been given a food hygiene rating of 0. This is because the conditions found at the time of inspection were unacceptable. Personally, I'm disappointed as you have failed to ensure the safety of the food you are producing and feeding your staff. It's clear you haven't managed the problem effectively, and the activity has been ongoing for several months. You agreed voluntarily to close the kitchen for a few days to address this matter. Appropriate treatment methods must be used to eliminate pests. So they basically have a rat infestation. And the food inspector...
Yuck.
...clearly expressing
disgusting
his
creatures.
Don't knock rat and chips until you try to, Carl.
Disgusting.
A nice cockroach pie?
Walking all over everything. Ugh. Yuck.
You don't want to even know what's going on in the kitchen. Anybody who's ever worked in the food industry as a waiter or if you worked on the line in the kitchen, you don't even want to know. You know, fast food, cafeterias, even nice restaurants sometimes. Don't worry about what's going on back
there. Isn't this a little different, though, because you kind of work with the people you're serving food to?
Yeah. You think?
Like, it's one thing when you walk into a fast food restaurant, and there's a degree of anonymity between the customer and the chef. At a team's training ground, you know the chef. You know the scooper.
Well, then
of
you
the
know it's okay if you know
pie.
It's okay if he hadn't washed his hands. Maybe you trust him, Carl.
Well, no, but
you know where his hands have been.
We were talking about this the other day with the Warriors. Like they had to go into lockdown mode because one of their cafeteria workers got viral meningitis.
Right,
this type of thing can be very bad. But So anyhow, I guess they have closed the cafeteria at Crystal Palace. They're giving it a scrub down, and then they're going to reopen. The L.A. burglars that have been hitting the athletes and the celebrities out there have struck again. They got Antonio Gates this week.
Oh, man.
Or I guess over the weekend. But this one's a little bit scary because his kids were home at the time of the break-in.
Ooh.
They have it all on surveillance video. No one got hurt, fortunately, but you see on the surveillance video that the burglars are going through his garage, and basically they're riffling through all his cars. So I guess he leaves his cars unlocked in his garage. They were looking through his Rolls Royce and some of his other cars.
You think your
car
would be safe in the garage, in your house?
Well, I don't think they stole the car. I think they were. Yeah, but you're right. But that's why you would have it unlocked in your garage, of course. So, I mean, Yasiel Puig has been hit. I think he's been hit four times.
Right.
Rihanna has been hit. Robert Woods has been hit. And they think this might be connected to these incidents. But, again, his kids weren't hurt, so that's good news.
That is good news.
I think some of those dudes might have to look into some security, man. Full time, like a dude with a gat, on the premises.
Yeah, like
what is this, Scarface?
No, like a bodyguard. A guy, a driver.
Yeah.
Someone like that.
Yeah. A couple of guys with gats.
The security of yours, these cameras, that cost money, okay? It's over 10% of our gross, okay?
Right.
It is, in case you missed it, with Mike Conte, guys. More on the Falcons and college football coming up here on the program. What else you got, Mike?
You see what Cam Newton said about his Heisman vote? You know, he won the Heisman, so he gets a vote. So does Baker Mayfield. Mayfield said he's voting for Kyler Murray, by the way. Cam Newton yesterday was asked who he voted for the Heisman Trophy, and he said, next question for obvious reasons. The obvious reasons are Heisman voters are not allowed to reveal their votes. Some do it anyway, but they are not allowed to reveal their votes. So the reporter asked, well, did he vote for Tua? And Cam said, who's that?
Ooh. Come on, Cam. You know.
He's an Auburn guy.
He's an Auburn guy.
No, he knows who Tua is, doesn't he?
He's an Auburn guy. He's just throwing shade at Alabama.
He's throwing shade at Alabama. But I'm going to tell you something. Some of the Heismanology polls that I've seen that ESPN has put out are starting to make it look like Kyler Murray is going to win this thing.
Ooh.
If that happens, you tell me if I'm wrong, then the Heisman Trophy has basically become the best player in November award.
Mm.
Really think about that.
Well, his numbers are insane, Mike.
They are insane, but it was unquestioned going into the final month of the year that it was going to be Tua, because Tua's numbers are insane, too.
They are.
Then he got hurt, and there was a little bit of a drop-off. I'll go back to last year. Coming out of Halloween, going into the final month of the season, Saquon Barkley was the favorite to win the Heisman Trophy, and did not even get an invitation to New York because he had a bad game against Rutgers and a somewhat bad game against Nebraska. It's supposed to be a full season award, so I don't know.
But he's got a 70% completion rate, and he threw the ball almost twice, like 150 more throws.
Who, Kyler Murray?
Kyler Murray, yeah.
But,
I mean, I know the nature of their offense.
Yeah, I mean, what they do.
I hate these awards because they're so subjective. Because and sometimes it always is the guy on the best team as opposed to the guy who's really kicking butt on a team which didn't win 10 games.
Why do you hate Bama so much?
Not just their fans. Come just some
now.
Of their fans.
Come on now. We don't hate Bama. All right, sometimes. Mike Conte, great job. As always, man. We're only doing one.
Sounds like Conte's on the Bama payroll.
One in case you missed it today with Mike Conte. Tomorrow, where are you going
to
be, man?
Going to be at the Home Depot in Ponce de Leon, 4 to 6. You're going to have a chance to get tickets to the MLS Cup Finals. So it's going to be a really cool event. Come on down and join me for that tomorrow.
What time?
4 to 6 at the Home Depot in Midtown on Ponce de Leon.
Okay.
And then we'll be going to Ponce City Market for some jerky, so you're more than welcome to go across the street. Nice.
Sweet jerky spot in there.
Really good jerky.
Yeah, it's a good spot. Yeah. Hey, coming up, man, we'll talk dogs. We'll talk about this argument. Mike says he doesn't like award shows.
I hate them.